Chapter 2.
That's wonderful!
Ashla exclaimed as she smiled at Mr. Byrne.
Although poorly timed.
I know, Arwen agreed in a disappointed voice.
So much for enjoying a day off. I just hope it's actually a development and not just another single translated word like last time. Duty never sleeps,
the Ice Mage observed. The two women turned to give me apologetic looks, and I smiled reassuringly. Go, I instructed in a gentle tone. It's okay.
It's very important,
Mr. Byrne assured the women with narrowed eyes, and he cleared his throat before he continued.
The names of the guardians have been translated.
My breath caught in my throat, and my mind raced. The Beastmaker prophecy mentioned the guardians. So there was a chance this new information could prove once and for all. I wasn't the ominous character described in the cryptic text. Can I come with you? The question left my lips before I was fully aware of what I'd said, but the look in Arwen's eyes answered me instantly.
I'm sorry, Griff,
she began, but I held up my hand to stop her. No, really, it's okay, I said. I understand. I'd desperately wanted to join the Academy research team in their mission to decipher the books we'd retrieved from the Guardian's library in Vey, but Arwen and Headmaster Sleet voiced concerns about the five Arkans that currently resided inside of my consciousness. They worried the information could be dangerous if it was let into the monster goddess's hands, and my friends feared the havoc the Dark Arkans could wreak if I couldn't properly control them. Still, as much as I didn't want to admit it, part of me was disappointed at my exclusion from the group, and I thought I really could help them out if they'd give me the chance to prove myself. After all, I'd been a vital part of the recovery mission that had unearthed the texts in the first place. However, the other part of me knew Arwen and Sleet were right to be cautious, and while I had the Arkans mostly under my control, both physically and sexually, the goddesses couldn't be trusted, especially with such sensitive information. They'd all attempted to take over the world in some form or another, and we couldn't just hand them another opportunity on a silver platter. Arwen smiled sympathetically, and she squeezed my hand in an attempt to soothe me.
We'll be back soon,
she promised, and the red-haired healer gave me a gentle peck on the lips before she turned to follow Mr. Byrne out the door.
Don't have too much fun without us,
Ashla nodded, and she gave me a quick hug, and then she playfully nibbled on my earlobe before she followed the others to the waiting carriage. The front door clicked closed, and I blinked at it for a moment, feeling a little lost. Arwen and Ashla would be reading the names of the 12 guardians, and there was no guarantee they would share the information with me later. The image of my name scrawled in Arwen's hand beside the Beastmaker prophecy flashed through my mind, and my heartbeat quickened. I needed to know who the guardians were.
You could always follow them,
Sarah suggested in a momentary lapse in my mental wards.
I could help you.
I shook my head to dispel her voice. I was in no position to be taking advice from the dark-haired Arkan, no matter how much I was tempted by her offer. Suddenly, I felt a soft touch against my arm, and I turned around to find the source. It was Nia, and the beautiful ashen-haired mage eyed me with concern.
Are you hungry?
She asked as she dropped her hand from my arm, but her worried expression remained in place.
I know it's a little late in the day for it, but maybe some breakfast will help take your mind off things.
Yeah, food might be a good idea, I admitted, and I smiled in an attempt to reassure my new wife that everything was perfectly fine.
Food is always a good idea,
Layla spoke up with a playful grin. The petite summoner then appeared on my other side, grabbed my hand forcefully, and started to lead me down the hallway before I could protest. All right, I'm coming, I laughed as I followed the girls down the hall and into a sprawling kitchen. Every room in our illustrious mansion was amazing, but this one in particular was truly a sight to behold. The walls were made of brick and were painted a pale ivory shade that contrasted finely against the dark wood of the floors. A large wood-burning oven crackled in the corner and emitted a nice smoky scent that made my mouth water. Long shelves lined the walls, and they held various kitchenware, matching jars, and varying bottles of what I presumed to be spirits. The whole room was decorated with vases full of small white flowers and flowing ivy. It was like a larger version of Freya's indoor jungle combined with the decor of an upscale tavern, and the effect was quite homey. I was ushered over to a heavily windowed adjoining room just off the kitchen that housed a large circular dining table made of the same wood as the floors. I took a seat on a chair in between Layla and Aaron, and I let out a sigh as I settled into the comfortable cushion.
"What do you think?" Layla asked.
"Maker, this is comfy," I said with a smile, and I bounced lightly on the chair.
"I picked out the chairs and the table, too."
"Well, Layla, you certainly have great taste."
"You're so right about that,"
Layla agreed with a nod, and the girls all laughed.
"Layla wanted to make sure the kitchen and dining room were as cozy as possible,"
Cyrus smirked,
"since she's going to be in here the most."
"Well, it puts the Academy's dining hall to shame," I complimented, and Layla snorted.
"Okay, enough flattery, Griffey. You're making me blush. You know you love it,"
Aaron teased. Layla then took the opportunity to recount her adventures at the wedding, while Nia and Syra headed into the kitchen. The rooms were separate but adjoining, so I was able to see Nia as she compiled the necessary kitchenware to start cooking. I was sort of impressed at the feat, since I'd never seen Nia act so wifely.
"Maker, Nia, you look so fucking pretty in your wedding dress,"
Layla complimented, and even from across the two rooms, I could see Nia's porcelain skin flush scarlet.
"I can't stop thinking about it."
"She did, didn't she?" I agreed. "You know, you were looking quite pretty yourself, Bethel. Pink really suits you."
"Fuck you, Griff,"
Layla grumbled, but the brunette seemed rather pleased with the flattery.
"That's the first and last time you'll ever see me in that color. Feminine colors can't kill you, Layla,"
Nia called out.
"You can still battle while wearing pink."
Layla stuck her tongue out in the mage's direction, but Nia was turned around and couldn't see it. I cracked up at the childish gesture, and the summoner shot a glare at me before she continued on with her tales.
"Oh, so later on, after you, Freya, and Nia snuck away, I tried to get Gawain to dance with me. But of course he had to be all grumpy about it,"
Layla quipped, and I couldn't help but laugh at her frustration as I tried to imagine her dancing with the golden-haired fire mage. The two hated each other with a vengeance not too long ago, but they'd somehow found common ground after everything our team had gone through. Of course, that didn't help Layla from teasing Gawain at every opportunity she could.
"He looked like he was going to throw up in the middle of the ballroom,"
Aaron added. "You should know by now that Gawain is a stick in the mud," I pointed out as I accepted a cup of water from Nia. Then I took a long swig, and the cool water soothed my throat as it trickled down. Maker, I hadn't even realized I was dehydrated.
"Well, I know that, but I just hoped Mr. Fancy Pants could humor me at a party,"
Layla replied as she rolled her eyes in exasperation. But her frustration didn't seem to last long, and a new thought appeared to cross her mind.
"And don't even get me started on Nako. I swear, I was 10 seconds away from kidnapping that cute little guy for myself. I thought my ovaries were going to explode." "Nera probably wouldn't have been too pleased,"
Nia giggled as she passed by the doorway of the dining room.
"Her and Giheim seem pretty attached to him." "Nako is definitely precious,"
Aaron agreed, and she smiled dreamily.
"But then again, our baby is going to be even cuter, Griffey,"
Layla exclaimed with an arrogant smirk. "Well, that's just a given," I agreed, and Layla let out an enthusiastic laugh of victory.
"Not to bust your bubble, Layla, but mine and Griff's babies are going to be even cuter than yours,"
Cyrus said with a challenging glint in her eyes.
"A baby with your hair and Griff's eyes,"
Aaron mused, and the pilot's amber eyes glazed over dreamily, as if she were picturing the idea. Or maybe she was thinking about how the baby we might have just made together in the hot spring bath would look.
Yeah, but imagine a baby with my hair and Griff's eyes, and tell me that isn't the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Layla pouted. Listen, I think all of our babies are going to be adorable, I mediated with a smirk. They're all going to be lucky to have such attractive mothers. As Nia continued to rummage through the cupboards, and the others prattled on about our future babies, I stared out the window, and my mind hovered back to the researchers until I could barely register any of the words the girls were saying. The names of the guardians have been translated. Mr. Burns' words repeated over and over like an echo in my mind, and I felt like I was going mad. I wanted to concentrate on what my lovers were saying, and yet...
What's wrong, Griff?
Nia asked, and I jolted back to reality and turned away from the window to see her lips in a concerned frown.
Yeah, you're looking a little spicy,
Layla observed as she cocked her head to the side.
Did all this baby talk get you spooked?
Aaron frowned.
'Cause we can always stop.
Not spooked. I'm just, I'm worried about Freya, I lied, and then I ran with it. If it's okay with you, I'm going to go up to her room and check up on her.
Oh, okay,
Nia replied, but her eyebrows relaxed, and the worried expression slid into a small smile.
Let me know if there's anything she needs. I'll come up and let you know when the food is ready.
Do you want one of us to come with you?
Syra asked, and a smile broke out on the dark-skinned summoner's face.
I can give her a back rub.
Syra and Freya had a mutual infatuation with each other since Syra was the first of my girlfriends to make love with both of us, with the intent of putting a baby in her. And while normally I would have taken Syra up on the offer, I had other motives. Thanks. I grinned and turned toward the stairs. But once I was out of sight of the women in the kitchen, I tiptoed over to the front door and quietly slipped out to the stoop. I lingered there for a moment and contemplated my next move. Was I really going to do this? I hated lying to my lovers, but I needed answers. And if Arwen and the rest of the research team weren't going to give them to me, I needed to take them for myself. So I took a deep breath and reached for an essence crystal. But when my fingers touched bare skin, I realized I hadn't worn my bandolier to my wedding, and therefore, it was sitting in my room at the Retching Goblin, which was exactly why I never wanted to be separated from my crystals. I wasn't entirely powerless, though, since I still had the five goddesses under my control, and Dio's crystal was stashed inside my trouser pocket. I would need to retrieve my bandolier later. But for now, I had an idea. I jogged down the driveway to put some distance between me and my house, and then I summoned Sarah with the wave of my will. The dark-winged goddess manifested with a quick gush of black essence, and she greeted me with an eager grin as she fell into step beside me. Snap, Darner, I commanded brusquely.
Yes, master,
the Arcan replied with a pleased smile. And then she snapped her fingers to summon the dragonfly-like monster. The Snapdarner appeared before us, and I hoisted myself onto the monster's insectile back before Sarah climbed gracefully into a position behind me. She wrapped her arms around my waist, and her breath was warm on my neck, but then the monster's wings buzzed as it lifted off from the ground.
Where to?
Sarah inquired in a husky voice. The Academy, I said as my gaze trailed up the hill to the school campus. The Snapdarner took off, and a few moments later, we flew over the grounds of the academy. The early afternoon breeze was crisp against my face, despite the bright sunlight, and I shivered a little as we flew. I felt Sarah's hardened nipples against my back as she leaned closer against me, and she pulled herself tighter around my body as if she intended to warm me up. But I straightened my back awkwardly away from her. I wasn't looking for comfort or sex from the Arcan. At least, not right now. We had a mission to prioritize, and I needed to remain focused if we were going to pull this off. I peered down at the campus beneath us and spotted the two women and Mr. Byrne striding across the lawn below me, But besides the three figures I tracked, the sprawling campus was empty. With the entire school being at the wedding the night before, and it being the weekend, I was sure there were parties going on all over Varlay, so I wasn't surprised by the lack of people on the lawn. I motioned for a halt, and the Snapdarner hovered several hundred feet in the air while I watched my targets enter the main building. Then I gave Sarah a mental command to take us to the ground, but I was careful to time it so the researchers disappeared through the door before we landed. Once I'd dismounted and was headed toward the entrance, Sarah snapped her fingers to recall her summons, and then followed behind me closely. I pushed open the doors to the main building as quietly as I could, and I spotted the backs of the three researchers' heads veer down a connecting corridor when I slipped inside. I followed them with slow, cautious steps, and I peered around the corner to make sure the path was clear before I continued on. I could hear their steps echoing down the hallway ahead of me, but I made sure to stay out of sight as I tracked them through the corridors. We passed Arwin's classroom as well as several others, and then they entered a part of the academy I'd never been in before. It was near the back entrance to the dining hall where the researchers made an abrupt left turn, and I frowned as I tiptoed behind them. I waited for the sounds of their footsteps, and I didn't hear anything, but then the distorted murmur of their voices penetrated the wall. I couldn't understand anything they were saying, but I could tell they were in a room just on the other side of the wall where I stood.
"What are you waiting for?"
Sarah asked in a hushed voice. "I'm trying to hear what they're saying," I informed her in a whisper. The sound was muffled, and while I wasn't sure any of my monsters possessed specialized hearing abilities I could borrow, I wished I'd had my essence crystals on hand. I needed the researchers to speak up, or this operation was all for nothing. Suddenly, as if they'd read my thoughts, the voices from inside grew louder, and the door to the room started to open. I dashed down the hallway and around the corner as fast as I could, and I slid out of sight just as I heard the click of shoes on the tile floor.
"I think we should tell Griff,"
Ashla said in a worried voice.
"No,"
Arwin countered.
"Not yet."
"Why not?"
Ashla snapped back.
"This involves him, and he has every right to know."
"It's not the right time,"
Arwin replied, and her voice was even but frustrated.
"He needs to be watched," Mr. Burns' voice commented.
"I've got it covered, thank you,"
Arwin assured him, but I could hear the hard edge in her voice that meant she was annoyed with the man.
"Miss Hamner, he could be dangerous."
"We know that,"
Ashla hissed. "Me? Dangerous? What in the Maker's name did Mr. Byrne mean by that?"
"Forgive me," Mr. Byrne said. "I meant no offense by it. I simply mean we need to keep a close eye on the young man in case..."
The voices grew quieter as their footsteps echoed away from me down the hall. And when I peered cautiously around the corner, I noticed the door to the research lab was left with a tiny crack still ajar.
"Humph!"
The dark-winged Arkin sniffed beside me.
"I thought we were going to confront them."
"Not until I have something to confront them with," I explained as quietly as I could. "Stay here and keep watch."
"Yes, master,"
Sarah hissed in a seething whisper as her yellow eyes showed her displeasure. I glanced up and down the hallway to make sure it was empty, and then I crept over to the door with slow steps. My heartbeat pounded in my ears as my blood pumped adrenaline throughout my body. But I pulled open the barrier and slipped into the dark room with one quick movement. I blinked to adjust to the dim lighting, and I glanced around curiously at the secret research lab. There were tables and desks arranged at various angles throughout the room, and a series of drawings, scrawled notes, and pinned questions covered the wall to my right. I recognized some of the drawings as Ashla's, since they resembled the ones hung on her bedroom walls. I stepped further into the room and glanced around at the closest desks, and I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but I was confident I'd know it when I saw it. Then, in my peripheral vision, I saw the word "Guardians" written across the top of a sheet of paper, and as I pulled it from the strewn pile to inspect it, I saw it was a list of names. This was it, written out in black and white in a language I understood. My eyes scanned rapidly down the list as my heart rate intensified. Virgil Crass, Annalisa Westmore, Bertram Abernathy, Daria Abernathy, Jonathan Bryn, Julia Bryn, Rolf Oster, Killian Salinger, Philomena Erickson, Kristen Porter, Relad Porter, Genevieve Porter. Tears blurred my vision, and I blinked them back in confusion for a moment. Then my mind processed the words my heart already understood, and the realization struck me like a wallet and it just landed on my chest. My parents were guardians? All I could remember of them were brief flashes. My mother's smile, my father's strength, and their first names, Relad and Genevieve. But how could this be? The guardians had existed thousands of years ago, and if that were the case, this had to be some kind of mistake. This simply wasn't possible. Somehow, my parents had been alive thousands of years ago, and if they'd been alive back then, had I been as well? This revelation could potentially change everything. I'd come here for reassurance, but instead, I'd only found more puzzles. Who the fuck was I? While I struggled to wrap my brain around the information I'd just unearthed, a feminine voice cleared her throat, and I was brought back to reality. I whipped around in fear, terrified I'd been caught where I didn't belong, but it was only Sarah, and my heartbeat slowed down considerably.
If you've gotten what you need, we should probably take our leave, Master,
the Arkan suggested in a quiet yet urgent tone.
Unless you've reconsidered my confrontation plan.
The dark-haired goddess's bright yellow eyes flashed with hope, but I was so shaken up that I couldn't acknowledge the Arkan's battle lust.
Did you know?
I asked, and my voice wavered against my will as I gripped the desk for stability. The room had started to spin as a wave of nausea washed over me, and I struggled to stay balanced as my stomach turned.
Did I know what?
Sarah replied, and her elegant eyebrows furrowed in confusion.
That my parents were...
Suddenly, I heard the distant sound of footsteps, and Sarah beckoned me toward her.
If you don't wish to fight, we must leave now,
the Arkan whispered, and she again gestured for me to join her by the door. She was right. We could hash this out later, for right now, we needed to sneak out of this office and find our way back outside without anyone spotting us. Arwen and Headmaster Sleet wouldn't be thrilled if I were caught snooping around with a dark goddess after I'd been specifically instructed to stay behind. So I gathered my strength, vowed to return to my familiar revelation later, and carefully crept over to where Sarah was positioned by the door. The Arkan eyed the hallway, and then she gestured to the door with a tilt of her head.
They've turned the other way. We must slip out now if we wish to leave undetected.
Let's go. I agreed, and the goddess and I crept out of the room with cat-like speed. Then we darted down the long corridor and began to retrace our steps to get back out of the main building. My heart raced with every step, and I tried to come up with an excuse on the off chance I was caught by someone. I prayed to the Maker that someone wouldn't be Arwen. I didn't have the strength to face the professor while I was still so confused about her secrecy. A confrontation was inevitable, but I didn't want it to take place in the academy. That conversation would have to wait until we were home, and in the comfort of our own walls where strangers wouldn't be around to hear. Finally, Sarah and I made it back outside, and I let out the breath I'd been holding. But as we approached a shady tree, bile rose up again in my chest, and I stumbled over to it just in time to retch. I kneeled on the ground and emptied what little contents I had in my stomach, and my nostrils and throat stung from the effort. When the retching finally ceased, I felt Sarah's gaze upon me, and I met the goddess's eyes.
That sounded dreadful, she cringed. Didn't feel too great either, I admitted. Shall we return home so you can rest, Master?
She asked with a casual tilt of her head, and the simple gesture filled me with rage.
No,
I snapped as I wiped my mouth with the back of my hand.
I have some questions that need to be answered first. From me? What could I possibly...
Not just you. I cut the Arcan off. All of you. With no hesitation, I recalled Sarah back into my consciousness, and the goddess dissolved into a mist of black essence that fluttered onto my back. Once I was sure she was stored back inside my mind, I approached another tree in the distance and laid back against the trunk. To anyone passing by, I would appear as if I were just resting after a long night of merriment. But I had no intention of napping. I needed to confront the Arcans. So I closed my eyes and let myself drift into a trance-like slumber. As the outside world began to fade away, the planes of my dreamscape grew clearer, and I manifested a room just as I'd done countless times before. The effort had grown so much easier, and I found myself in a space that resembled an empty classroom, much like Arwen's one in the real world. I settled into a cushioned chair behind a large wooden desk, and once I was comfortable, I removed the magic barriers of my mind and sensed the Arcan stir as my mental ward slipped away. Then I summoned them to me, and one by one they appeared in the room.
Quite the interesting setting you've given us,
Utuni quipped, and the snake goddess's full red lips curved up into a sexy smile as she surveyed our surroundings.
Ugh! Why are we at school?
Fi whined as she suddenly appeared in the room.
Stop complaining, sister!
Sarah snapped with a roll of her yellow eyes, and she took a seat at an empty desk.
Show some appreciation toward our master.
I do appreciate him!
Fi insisted, and the goddess crossed her arms against her chest as she sat down with a huff. Then her large white wings curled around her like a cloak as she settled in.
I, for one, enjoy this setting,
Viopa murmured as she fully manifested in the room. The newest addition to the group gracefully began to approach me with her pale eyes full of lust, but I shook off her advances and gestured toward an empty seat. Viopa reluctantly sat down, and she looked visibly displeased that she'd been turned down.
So what can we do for you, Master?
Mira Lee purred, and the cat goddess's fangs flashed as she offered me a sexy, if not terrifying, grin.
As we're in a classroom, perhaps we can act out some kind of schoolgirl roleplay?
Utuni offered, and the other goddesses teetered at the suggestion.
I can play the role far better than any of your mortal women.
I didn't gather you all here to fuck, I growled, and I made no effort to hide my irritation. I came here for answers, so I'll ask the rest of you what I asked Sarah earlier. Did you know my parents were guardians? The Arcans avoided my gaze, and I pounded my fist roughly against a desk.
Master!
Mira Lee started.
I'm not fucking around anymore, so answer me! I demanded.
The room fell silent, and the Arcans exchanged convulsive glances at each other. Mira Lee started to play idly with her claws. Fi inspected her feathers, and Viopa stroked her long pale hair. And as the goddesses fidgeted, my anger grew stronger. You've all existed for thousands of years, I said slowly in an attempt to hold back my rising temper. You knew the 12 Guardians. And I'm sure you knew them well. According to one of the books Arwen and the researchers deciphered, my parents were two of them. So I need to know. Is that true? The Arcans remained quiet. Rilad and Genevieve Porter. Did you know them? I tried again. Still, I received no response. Ugh! I groaned and rubbed at my face. I felt like I was speaking to a brick wall. Maker, even a brick wall would have been more helpful than the Arcans at this point. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity of silence, Sarah rose from her seat, and the dark goddess crossed over to me with a sensual sway of her hips.
Master,
she began as she tossed her dark mane of hair over her pale shoulders.
If you hold up your end of the bargain and impregnate me with your powerful seed, I'll tell you everything you wish to know.
Impregnate you?
Fi raged, and her red eyes flashed.
When did we agree you would be the one to bear Griff's first children? There is no decision to be made.
Sarah snapped.
I am the most powerful of us all.
Oh, shut up, Sarah.
Mira Lee yowled, and her long jaguar's tail fluffed up with irritation.
If you were so powerful, you wouldn't have gotten yourself trapped in that crystal.
Fi huffed, and Sarah let out an exasperated groan.
Are you ever going to stop using that as leverage?
Are you ever going to do something that's actually impressive?
Fi scoffed.
I think we all know I'm the most deserving of our master's seed,
Utuni chastised.
Oh, please!
Mirali growled and flexed her claws.
You were defeated way too easily to be considered a worthy vessel.
Oh, so you wish to discuss defeat. Fine.
Utuni seethed, and her snake eyes darted around hotly as she kicked a stray chair in front of her.
What about you then, Mira Lee? You have never been strong enough to handle.
That's enough,
I shouted, and the goddesses went quiet.
No one's getting anything until I get some answers.
That wasn't part of our deal.
Fi pouted.
Yes, you promised you'd impregnate one of us.
Mira Lee agreed. She was right. It had been a week since I'd promised the Arkans I would give one of them my seed. But with the caveat that they all had to agree on which one of them it would be. They were all desperate to have my children, for reasons they didn't wish to make known. But admittedly, I'd made this deal with sneaky intentions. The Arkans were powerful, and each believed herself to be better than the other goddesses. While they all obeyed me willingly, they were unwilling to admit defeat, and so a compromise was highly unlikely. I realized I wasn't going to get anywhere with them, and I let out a long sigh. I told you I'd impregnate one of you, but only if you could agree on who deserves it the most. Once you figure it out, I'm ready to go, but it sounds like you aren't ready yet. So until then, it's time for everyone to go back.
No, wait!
Mira Lee begged, and her orange eyes were round with desperation.
Please don't put us away again!
This is a waste of time.
But Master, what if we told you about... Enough!
Sarah screeched, and with lightning speed, the dark goddess sprang at Mira Lee and covered her mouth with her hand. Mira Lee squirmed under her grip. But Sarah didn't waver. Told me what? I demanded, and my eyebrows shot up in confusion. Sarah turned her feral-looking eyes on me, but softened her gaze almost immediately.
Nothing, Master. Mira Lee was just toying with you.
Mira Lee tried to speak, but Sarah's hands muffled her voice. I don't have time for all of these mind games, I said firmly to the group of Arkans. If you aren't going to be helpful, it's time for you to be put away.
But, Master!
The Arkans protested in unison until I raised my hand to silence them. Then I pointed a finger at Sarah. Except for you, I'll be needing the snap darner to get back home. I dismissed the others from the room with a wave of my hand, and soon I awoke back in the courtyard. The sun bore down on me, and I blinked rapidly as my eyes adjusted to the afternoon daylight. Sarah stood next to the tree, and her lips were turned down in an apparent pout. I don't want to say anything more about it, I said firmly. Summon the snap, darner. Sarah nodded obediently, and with a wave of her hand, the dragonfly-like monster appeared before us. We mounted the creature, and as it buzzed its large wings, we headed back home. As we flew past the grounds of the academy, I thought long and hard about what I was going to say to Arwen and Ashla when I returned. This information was too important for them not to tell me, and based off Mr. Byrne's warning and Arwen's tone, I knew they had no intention of sharing the translation with me any time soon. But this was way too important to keep hidden away. This wasn't a typical secret to be kept from me for my own good. My parents had supposedly been guardians for Maker's sake. Since I'd grown up in the wilds with my pseudo-father, Maelor Caroso, I'd only had a few memories of my birth family, and any bit of information I'd uncovered over the past few years always managed to reach a dead end. Maelor had spent hours in the Academy library trying to track down my family name, but to no avail. So it was like Rilad and Genevieve had never even existed. If they were guardians, though, that could explain their absence from any known books. But at the same time, it only brought up more questions. How could they have been alive thousands of years ago when I was only in my mid-22nd year? And how did the Beastmaker prophecy fit in with everything else? How did I factor into all of this? And as for the Arkans, they clearly knew more than they were willing to offer. I didn't want to cave to their desires, but if Arwen and Ashla didn't start trusting me with the truth, I would have to explore my other options. So I started to rehearse a confrontation in my mind, but as I practiced my speech, I realized I couldn't go through with it. It wasn't Arwen's fault she couldn't say anything. Her research team was top secret, and she couldn't jeopardize the team's information falling into the wrong hands, even if they were mine. She might have been my lover, but she was also a professor, and I had to accept she was doing the right thing by waiting. She'd even admitted that now wasn't the right time to talk to me. As much as I wanted to discuss the findings in the Guardian's book, I would have to wait. Before I could lose myself further in the hurricane of my thoughts, the Snapdarner landed in the circular drive of my new home. I gazed at the white brick exterior of the mansion, and my stomach leapt in my throat as I thought about my women waiting for me inside. What in Maker's name was I going to do? I dismounted the Snapdarner, dismissed Sarah before she could try to get another word in, and once the goddess and her monster disappeared from my sight, I took a deep breath.
If you want to buy yourself some time, you could always let me out.
I chuckled to myself as my familiar's voice pleaded in my head.
That's a tempting offer, I considered, and Dio let out a long groan. Come on, Griff. I've been cooped up in here all day, he grumbled. I'm so bored. I even sacrificed my morning scratches from Layla just so you could have some steamy baby-making fun with...
Okay, I said as I summoned Dio from his essence crystal. The saber-toothed cat appeared before me, and it only took one glance at the enormous monster for him to begrudgingly shrink down to the size of a kitten, though his long curved teeth remained comically large.
I don't know why you won't let me stretch out, Dio complained. It's not like we're short on room out here.
Better for you to start getting into the habit now, I replied, and I leaned down to scratch my familiar behind the ears.
Oh, fuck yeah, Dio purred and wiggled his tail happily as I found his favorite spot.
I want to be able to take you to class with me, I said, but I can't let you hang out with me if you won't behave.
But...
And besides, we don't need to freak out our neighbors.
Fuck the neighbors, Dio,
I snorted.
I'm awesome! They should be so lucky to get to see someone as amazingly handsome as me outside their windows.
You're ridiculous, I laughed, and Dio stuck his back end out into the air as he stretched out his little spine.
Fine, but since I'm being so good and all, you should probably rub my belly.
Dio flopped over and exposed his tawny belly fluff, and I chuckled at the little cat before I gave in and sat down on the emerald lawn beside him. My familiar and I laid out in the sun for a bit, and after a while, Dio let out a huge yawn, curled up against me, and fell fast asleep. I admired my familiar as the sleeping monster purred in his dreams, and once I was sure he was conked out, I quietly arose and placed him into my hip pouch. While I dreaded the situation I was about to walk into, it was time for me to face my punishment. And just as I'd suspected, Nia was posted up in the sitting room, with her slender arms crossed and her piercing blue eyes ablaze. I admired my wife's ability to look absolutely stunning even when she was pissed off.
Where were you?
Nia demanded, and her tone was equally concerned and irritated as she pulled herself up from the white leather armchair.
I went upstairs to get you, and Freya said she hadn't seen you all morning. We thought maybe you'd gotten lost, but we looked everywhere and couldn't find you.
The elementalist crossed over to me and tilted her chin up as she waited for me to answer. Nia, I started.
What's going on, Griff?
She practically shouted, and I was surprised to see the normally cool-headed mage so distraught. I swear, I didn't mean to frighten you.
And that's my cue to leave. I'm just gonna go find Layla.
Dio jumped out of my hip pouch, and the kitten-sized, saber-toothed cat jaunted up the spiral staircase without another word and left me alone to defuse Nia. The ashen-haired elementalist took a long, deep breath before she began to speak.
We're married now, Griff. You can't just take off without saying anything to me. I had no idea if you were sleeping or if you were hurt.
Nia, I'm so sorry.
Look, I'm not mad,
Nia admitted with a sigh, and her face softened.
I was just really worried about you. It isn't like you to up and vanish, and I was scared maybe one of the Arkans.
Nia's words trailed off, and her pretty blue eyes filled up with tears. So I swept her up into a tight embrace and kissed the top of her silken hair. Hey, I'm all right, I promised, and I squeezed my wife tighter against me. I'm sorry for scaring you. I didn't mean to disappear. I just needed to take a breather.
I'm sorry,
she murmured after a moment of silence, and I loosened my grip around her.
I don't trust them. I don't think I ever will. I know you said you have them under control, but they scare me, Griff. And if they ever hurt you, I don't know what I'd do.
Don't apologize, Nia. I'm sorry I put you through so much stress. I really didn't mean to. I know the Arkans are a little overwhelming, but I have it handled. If that ever changes, I promise you'll be the first one to know, okay? Nia nodded her head and sniffed, and I stroked her hair in an effort to soothe her. I love you, Nia Kinnifik, I assured her. And when I planted a kiss on Nia's full lips, the mage returned my kiss passionately.
I love you too, farm boy,
she whispered when we pulled apart.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go crazy.
Stop. It's okay. I swear. I wiped a stray tear from Nia's cheek and let my hand linger there for a moment as she smiled against my touch.
So, you just missed Syra,
she said as she changed the subject.
She left to go get your bandolier. We noticed you looking for it earlier, so she went ahead to the Retching Goblin to pick it up for you.
No, perfect, I replied with a grin. My women knew me well, and it meant a lot that they'd noticed little things like that. I would have to thank Syra for her kindness later when she returned.
You also missed a plate of perfectly good eggs,
she said with narrowed eyes, and my stomach grumbled as if on cue. With all of the excitement of the day, I hadn't eaten, and somehow Nia had manifested my hunger with the mere mention of food. Well, hopefully they didn't go to waste. I'm sure they were the greatest eggs in the world.
That's enough flattery, yokel. They were just eggs,
Nia laughed.
But I took them up to Freya. She seemed pretty excited about them after the morning she's been through.
How is she? I asked with concern. Is she okay?
Well, she threw up a little, but other than that, she's taking things easy. She was asking for you, though.
I should probably go check up on her in a bit and make sure she's doing all right, I offered, and Nia nodded her head in agreement. After I visit with Freya, why don't we go spend some time with Arwen and Ashla? I asked. Maybe all of us can go hang out in the hot springs. Or you can show me the rest of the house. I know Aaron was excited to show me the landing platform, And the other girls could use some fun after dealing with Mr. Byrne all morning. Truthfully, I was scared to see the Ice Mage and the red-headed professor, but I needed to act like everything was okay. My confrontation with them would come in time, but until then, things needed to go about smoothly.
Oh, I almost forgot,
Nia gasped suddenly.
Arwen left a note for you in your room.
A note? I frowned. Is everything okay?
I'm not entirely sure,
Nia admitted as she bit her lower lip.
They left in kind of a hurry without saying much.
That's weird, I remarked.
Yeah, it did seem a little off.
I kissed Nia on the cheek, and then I quickly climbed the red-carpeted spiral staircase up to my second-floor bedroom. The fact that Arwen had left a note felt strange in light of today's events, and as I scanned the room for it, my heartbeat quickened. Finally, I spotted a folded piece of parchment on top of my dresser with my name scrawled on the front in Arwen's exquisite penmanship. So I picked up the paper, unfolded it, and began to read the contents aloud. Dearest Griff, I'm sorry Ashlyn and I couldn't spend more time with you this morning. We really wanted to be there to properly welcome you to our new home, but an urgent matter came to our attention. Headmaster Sleet sent for us just as we returned home. We've been sworn to secrecy for the time being, and can't say much more, but the headmaster has sent us an important mission pertaining to our research. We'll see you as soon as we return. Love, Arwen and Ashla.